praise the Lord. Well, what a blessing. Amen. Let's open your Bibles back up, if you will, to 2 Timothy in chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll not have you stand as we have already read the scriptures today. And we're going to get right into our sermon, guys. Get right into it. 2 Timothy in chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Paul writes his letter and he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance. Beloved, I want to speak to you today on the topic of at his appearing. Father in heaven, we pray now that you please guide us, Lord. Take this message right upon the table of our hearts, Lord. Bear witness upon our souls, Father. We give you honor, glory, and praise, and we exalt the precious word of God, which is above all words, dear God, perfect and pure. In Jesus' name we do ask. Amen and amen. Paul is writing this letter, guys, in the spring of 68 AD from a prison house in Rome. And he writes this final letter in his days, his final days upon this earth. And we call this letter 2 Timothy, simply because he had written a letter to Timothy prior to that. So this is the second epistle, the second letter to Timothy. Paul is now 66 years old and has been a prisoner for approximately 10 years. And he will only live a few months after penning this letter to Timothy. As a matter of fact, we don't even know if Timothy ever made it back to Paul before his life was taken. The Apostle Paul had reached a point in his life. He had reached a pinnacle, one may say, in the ministry. His life did not revolve about what he had gained. As a matter of fact, in his own words, it proves that he says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Paul was not caught up by a drive for achievement or self-gratification. He looked not for a claim for fame or a position of praise as measured by the marks of man or in the mirror. Most of our men today are moved by what they see in the mirror, or at least what they think they see in the mirror, and more than even women are today. Paul had a mission. He had a mission mind with a drive that was reflected in this letter unto the Christians, even when he wrote unto the Rome in the spring of AD 58. A decade prior, when Paul is writing a letter from Corinth, his drive for the mission field, his drive for the mission that God has given him, is reflected in Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 16, saying, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul was a debtor to all mankind, all races, all nations, all tongues, all colors, all creeds, everyone. He was a debtor to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ unto them. He was not ashamed of it. He wasn't ashamed of the gospel that brought unto him salvation. He was not ashamed to preach the gospel unto those that had looked as being off scourged from this world. He was not ashamed to sit there and preach to someone that no one else would have anything to do with, that everyone would pass by on the road. He was not ashamed to preach to Caesar, to kings and to queens. He was not ashamed to preach the gospel anywhere at all. From the nth degree this direction to the nth degree in that direction, Paul was driven by the mission of the gospel, the word of God, to get in the hearts and the minds and the souls of the people. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul says, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Let me tell you something. This world today is seeking power. Men are driven by power. They're driven by passion. They're driven by prestige and preeminence today. But if you want power in your life today, you get the gospel of Jesus Christ into your heart. You get it into your soul, and you let that gospel drive you into this world. Right. You want to end of racism today? Get the gospel of Jesus Christ into your heart. You want the end of sexism today? Get the gospel of Jesus Christ into your heart. You want the end of every single humanism in this world today, which is created by man, get the gospel of Jesus Christ in your heart and be not ashamed of it. Amen. Numbers were not the driving force for Paul. Paul lived by this statement that he says in Romans chapter 1. He lived by it. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. He was not driven by numbers. Numbers was not his driving force. Notoriety was not Paul's determining factor. Negotiations were not Paul's dialogue foundation, nor was negativity Paul's delivering feature. And that's one thing, guys, that I wish that if we could change anything in our pulpits today, is stop beating the negative drum. Amen and amen. Guys, nobody has to hear what you're against. Tell them what you're for, and then that's when everybody will know what you're against. Hallelujah, amen. You should be for the Word of God. Be for the delivery of people that are held in darkness. Be for the ending of inequality in this world today. Be for the end of it. If you're for something, you don't have to shout what you're against. Hallelujah. It was simply that souls needed to be saved, and that Paul understood that. That they may serve the Lord Jesus Christ sacrificially, in the short period of time, in the small teeny window of eternity that we have, or in the time frame prior to eternity that we have on this earth. You may live be 80, 90 years old. It is not but a grain of sand in the bucket of time.
Yeah.
Verse 8 tells us, he says on verse 8, when Paul's writing this final letter, he's talking about this crown. He's talking about this reward that he is going to receive, and this crown of righteousness that is laid up for him. And there's one reason this crown of righteousness is laid up for him. As much as Paul loved the gospel, as much as Paul loved his ministry, as much as Paul loved these things, he loved the Lord. He loved the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8 tells us, unto all them also that love his appearing. So I'm going to ask you this question here this morning. Do you honestly love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Do you honestly today love the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads in your home right now. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask you to look deep down inside of your soul. Close your eyes. Don't look at me. Just listen to the words that I'm saying. Bow your head at your seat right now. And I want you to evaluate your own life. And you tell me if you love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you looking for... And here. Don't look at the storms that we've had this year. Don't look at the struggles. Don't look at the sickness. And now you're loving the appearing. Do you love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ in the air today? Because of who and what he is and what he's done for you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Think about that just for a few seconds now. Ask yourself, with your head bowed and your eyes closed right now, ask yourself these three true and faithful questions, and you answer them in the same manner inside of your heart. Number one, do you love the appearing of the Lord? Can you honestly say, I love the appearing of the Lord? Secondly, ask yourself this question, do I look for the appearing of the Lord? Let me say this, if you love something, you're looking for it. Man, I love my wife, and when I'm not around her, I am looking to be with her. When I go on a trip somewhere by myself, listen, I am looking to be back with her. When she's gone shopping or something, she's at the grocery or whatever it may be, I'm looking for when she's coming back because I love being around her. I love being around my children. Guys, listen, you are looking for something that you love. Thirdly, ask yourself this question. Do I long for the appearing of the Lord? Listen, if you love something, you're looking for it. If you're looking for something because you love it, you should be longing for it. You can lift up your head now, open your eyes, ask yourself. I wonder what your answers were truthfully and faithfully today. I don't know what they are, but the Lord knows. Paul did. Paul loved the appearing of the Lord. Paul looked for the appearing of the Lord. Paul longed for the appearing of the Lord. And do you know why? Look at verse 7 of our text. He says, I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Paul, number one, fought. He fought what? He fought a good fight. Now, by all indication, if you can fight a good fight, you can fight a bad fight.
Right.
It was A.W. Tozer that said, no prayer is better than bad prayer. Now, that's something to think about, isn't it? Now, Tozer was a man that put things right where they were. He says, no prayer is better than bad prayer. Paul gave a charge to this young pastor, Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. He said, war a good warfare. If you can war a good warfare, if you can fight a good fight, then you can fight a bad fight, and you can war a bad warfare. Paul did not just go through the motions in his ministry, guys. Paul wanted to be a good soldier. He gave the same thing in 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 and 4. You don't need to turn there, but he says, as a good soldier. As a good soldier. Guys, if you can be a good soldier, same thing. You can be a bad soldier. If you can fight a good fight, you can fight a bad fight. If you can war a good warfare, you can war a bad warfare. Paul did not have one hand in the work of God and the other hand in the ways of the world. He was there to fight a good fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. Guys, there's been boxers in this world today that have fought bad fights and they have lost. They have lost. I remember in 1980 when Ali lost to Larry Holmes because he simply did not come to win. He was a bad man, he said that he was, and he fought a bad fight that night and he lost. That broke my heart as a little kid. 9 year old, I remember watching that. Watching with my dad there in the living room in Alabama. I remember sitting there watching it, and boy, I couldn't stand it. Larry Holmes beat Ali. Paul looked forward to the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ because he fought a good fight. Now, we can take this thing and we can preach it to the nth degree. You know good and well that if you did bad on a test or you did bad in school one day, you did not want to go home and face mom and dad.
Yeah.
Because you did something bad. Paul was looking, he loved, he was looking, and he longed for the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ because he had fought a good fight. Not only did he fight a good fight, but he finished, guys. He finished. What did he finish? He finished my course, he said. Friend, Paul did not just finish, he didn't finish Peter's course. He didn't finish John's course. He finished his own course. And every person saved, born again in this world today, guys, you have your own course that you have to finish. And there are multitudes of men and women today that God has placed on a course and they simply have not finished it. And when you're not finished your course, when you're not fighting a good fight, my friend, you're not loving the appearing of the Lord. You're not looking for the appearing of the Lord. You're not longing for the appearing of the Lord because you know you're going to stand for Him. You're going to account for what you did not do. Amen. He finished his own. He was able to look forward to the Lord's appearing because he finished his course. You know what? He had faith, my friend. He had faith. He kept the faith, the Bible says. Probably the number one reason. The number one reason Paul was able to do what he did is because he had kept his eyes on Jesus Christ.
Right.
He kept his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and not everybody around him. He kept his eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and not the distractions at hand. He ignored the noise around him. He kept his eyes on Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14 says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's moving, man.
Yes.
Listen, his faith kept him fueled to go forward and go forward and go forward and go forward. And because of that, he not only finished his course, but he kept his faith by finishing his course and fighting a good fight. With all that said, because of that, he was loving the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 12. You know the verse quite well. We used it the other week. Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. Wherefore seeing we are all so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. My friend, I'm here to tell you this morning that you are only going to love the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ if you fight a good fight, if you finish your course, and if you keep the faith. Paul did not just look forward to the coming of the Lord. He loved the appearing of the Lord. And that's the question that you got to ask yourself today. Are you loving the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you not wait for Him to get back here?
Amen.
I tell you what, we'll take a little side step. Go to Titus chapter 2. Go, this is not on your outline. It'll be free for you. Titus chapter 2. Notice this here, if you will. Titus chapter 2. Look in verses 11 and 12. 11 and 12. It's only a couple pages over from where you were. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. The Bible says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Here we have the grace of God as a teacher. Here we have, my friend, teaching us how to live in this present world. He's not telling us how to live in heaven. We don't need to learn how to live in heaven right now. He's teaching us how to live today. With all the things that are going on, with all the tragedies of the world, with all the turmoil, with all the trickery, with all the temptation that is in this world, he's teaching us that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And it would not be in this book if it was not possible.
Right.
The grace of God is teaching us to live soberly, which means a sound mind. A sound mind. A life-giving mind. I know when people hear the word sober, they think it's about drinking, being alcohol. It's the same thing, though, man. If you're putting something in your body that's not allowing you to think straight, stop it.
Right.
I don't care if it comes in liquid form, pill form, whatever, you know, stupid form. I mean, listen, stop doing it the best of your abilities. I understand if you have an illness and you have to take things. I'm not talking about that. So don't get all in a tansy about it. I'm just saying, guys, live soberly. Have a sound mind so you can have right thoughts. See, you don't wake up in the morning with the regrets of what you did the day before.
Yeah.
He said we should live righteously. Guys, that means justly. Honestly, my friend. Godly, he said. We should live godly in this present world. Godly. You cannot live that way without denying ungodliness and worldly lust. You can't live this way without denying yourself time and time again. You can't live this way without sacrifice. And my friend, you cannot love the appearing of Christ if you do not live this way.
Yeah.
Look at verse 13 of Titus 2. He goes right into the same context he was in his last letter. Mm-hmm. Looking for that blessed hope. That's the appearing of Christ. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for the blessed hope. That's what you should be looking for. If you're loving something, you're looking for it. Paul kept the faith. He kept his eyes on Jesus Christ, and therefore he loved the appearing of the Lord. How did you answer the questions earlier? I asked you that. I mean, many cannot say yes to all of those questions. Many will say, I want the Lord to come back, but how many of us have said that? Hey, listen. If that's your answer right now, well, there are some things. There's some things that you need to consider. I want the Lord to come back, but, well, there's some things that I want to do before. This is what happens when you take your eyes off of Jesus Christ. Last week we preached the topic of this theme that we have this year. And so many people are focused on the storms and the sickness and the struggles and all the things and the situations at hand and what's going on in this world. And those are nothing more than deterrents from Jesus Christ today.
Right.
You keep your eyes on Christ and you get Christ into this world and you get Christ into the people in this world, those things will go away eventually. This is what happens when you take your eye. When your eyes are on the things of this present world, when you're entangled with the affairs of this life. Jeremiah said, and I don't know why Brother Preston and I both have used this verse probably 10 times since we've been in COVID, but my eye affected my heart, Jeremiah said, because of the daughters of my sin. My eye affected my heart. Lamentations 3:51.
Yeah.
Beloved, Paul said that the time of his departure is at hand. That's what he said in our text today. He did not look at his death, but a departure, just as a plane is departing off a tarmac from one location to another destination. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Yeah. Can you say that today? Can you say for you to live is Christ, for you to die is gain? Guys, you need to think about this morning. We're talking about loving the Lord's appearance. Which is present when we fight a good fight, when we finish our course, when we keep the faith by having our eyes on Jesus Christ. That's how you love the appearing of the Lord.
Right.
In this world, you're going to have sorrows, guys. Over there, you have salvation. In this world, you're going to have sickness. You're going to have it, but over there, you have sanctification. In this world, you're going to have suffering, but over there, oh, my soul, you're going to have satisfaction. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, I tell you this. I love the Lord. I love His appearing. Number one, I love it. I'll go through a few quick points. I love His appearing because of the promotion. I'll go ahead and tell you that. Because of the promotion. So we look there in 1 Corinthians in chapter, you'll see that here, just going to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, verse 51, the Bible tells us there, it says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This old, vile, wretched, sin sickness-filled body shall be put away, and we'll put on a new. I'm loving the appearing of the Lord because of the promotion that comes with it. Not only that, guys, but I love the appearing of the Lord because of the price that was paid. His price for me. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us this, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we are undeserving of salvation, when we are undeserving of being saved, when we are undeserving of the Savior's blood, He died for me. And not only did He die for me, He took His love and He offered it to me. He commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I imagine every time the hammer hit the nail when he was on the cross, he thought of me. Mm. He thought of you. He thought of Preston. He thought of every single one of us and every sin that we would do, because he's God. And because of his omniscience, he knows them all. And he paid the price for them.
Right.
Looking unto Jesus, guys, for the joy that was set before him. Guys, despising the shame, he endured the cross because he committed his love toward us. There's a price for salvation. The innocent for the guilty. I love his appearance because I love his appearance because of his price. I love his appearing for the price that he paid for me. I love it because of the promotion that we will receive. And I love his appearing because of the promise that he has given. John 14 verses 1 through 3 says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That's a promise, my friend.
Right.
That's a promise today, and I'm very thankful for that. I love his appearing because of the promise. I love his appearing because of the price he paid. I love his appearing because of the promotion that we'll receive, that this old wretched vile body will put away. I'll receive a glory from. There's going to come a day when we'll be able to see those that we haven't seen before us. Hey, listen, that went on before us, that went on long before us, that we long to see. There's going to be a day that we're going to be able to meet the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, and maybe just on the other side of that river, my friend, we can sit down and we can talk to him about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can talk to him about some experiences. I don't know how it's all going to play out, but I do know this. I love the appearing because of that price, the promotion, and the promise he has given.
Right.
We're going to be reunited with loved ones. We're going to see old saints. But most of all, guys, we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Paul says in that letter over there, "For I'm now ready to be offered," he says. He said, "In the time of my hand, the time of my departure is at hand." He didn't say death, my departure. He's getting on a plane. He's departing for another destination. But he also said about that crown of righteousness. He said, "Unto all, them also that love his appearing." So, beloved, I leave you this thought here this morning. Do you love the appearing of the Lord? Do you look for the appearing of the Lord? Do you long for the appearing of the Lord? At his appearing, my friend. All of those questions are going to be answered. But you can answer them here right now this morning. You can begin to make changes in your life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first primary one that you do. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life to Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, the gift of God, salvation is free for you, but it costs Christ everything. And he came to give it to you. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm not that bad of a person. The Bible says all have fallen short." The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's where we need to be today. You cannot have the glory of God in your heart and your life today without God the glory inside of your soul. So, beloved, I ask you, your first step in loving the appearing of the Lord is accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior. After that, you begin to develop a lifestyle. Begin to develop a lifestyle of living for him. And when you begin to live for him and serve him and love him, oh, you'll want to see him.
Yeah.
You'll love his appearing. You'll look for his appearing. You'll long for his appearing. Because at the appearing of Christ, those questions are going to be answered fully. And they're going to be answered faithfully. No matter what you may say today, That's when they're going to be answered.
Right.
Beloved, I trust and ask, wherever you may be found wanting today, make that need a change. You need salvation, bow your head and ask Christ to save. In your own words, invite Jesus Christ in your heart. Accept him as your personal Savior. Accept him today for the free pardon of sin. Believe on Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, that he died for you and he rose again to make you a victor, not a victim. Put your faith and your trust in him today.
Yeah.
It is that simple. After that, guys, love the appearing of the Lord. Look for it and long for it. Will you bow your heads for me this morning? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be together today. We pray that you take your message, that you would please write it upon our hearts,
Give us guidance, grace, and mercy. Forgive us of where we have failed you, Lord. And give us the direction that we need to better and best serve you. I do love you, Lord, and thank you for all that you've done. I thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you've given me many, many years ago. I thank you for the foundation that you've enabled us to build upon, Father. But I ask your forgiveness for every way that I have fallen short every single day. I pray that you please forgive me. Help me and guide me, Lord, to be the right father, the right husband, the right pastor, the right Christian father. Help me and guide me in all the ways. Father, we give you the glory. And I pray that someone out there today is listening. That not only do they receive a blessing in their heart and their soul, I pray that if they have not known Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that this would be the last day. That there would be any uncertainties of their eternal security. For those of us who do know you, Lord Father, help us, Lord. Encourage us to live for you greater. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I hope and pray that the preaching and teaching of the Word of God